Tweet at TodaySOR.
The board of Aer Lingus has received a revised takeover offer from British Airways parent company IAG, our International Airlines Group. IAG is led by Willie Walsh, a former chief executive, of course, of Aer Lingus. It's offering to purchase the shares at a price of €2.55 each. Now, trade union leaders claim that any takeover could result in job losses and have an impact on connections at Heathrow. Joining me now, Oad Curry, editor of Travel Extra. Oad, thank you very much indeed for coming in.
Good morning, Sean.
What do you make of this offer, first?
Well, the offer is inevitable. I think it's a case of be careful what you wish for, Sean. For 8 years, we've had the big black hole of the pension fund that many efforts were made to resolve. And for a while, you know, it did look like it was going to be so difficult. We had sort of tag team strike threats and talks, and everything ran into trouble. And people were sort of saying, will this ever be ended? And it has been. And now it's quite clear that Aer Lingus is a sitting target for whoever wants to come along and pluck it. Now, IAG are surprisingly the only ones chasing this. It would be nice to have a counterbid from the point of view of putting up the value of the shareholders, which includes the Irish government, the Irish taxpayer. But it's worth considerably less than, for instance, in 2008 when that very famous Ryanair offer came in first. It was for €2.80 a share, and that's a long time ago. There's only one player in the market, and if this was Spancil Hill Horse Fair or Cahirmy, or in your case, Sean Ballinasloe, I wouldn't be spitting on the hand yet. I'd be holding on for a bit more. I think it's worth a little bit more. We should be going to €2.70, but in terms of is Aer Lingus going to be bought by somebody, I think absolutely it's there for the take. There's very few independent airlines out there to buy, and there's very few that are performing as well as Aer Lingus are. You know, you're down to, you know, you've only three or four like TAP and people like that that will be in that game. They're there for sale. It's Aldi or Lidl on Thursday, and the specials are on view, and it's on a very good price.
Now, we know that Aer Lingus is owned 25% by the Irish government, 29% by Ryanair. Who owns the remaining 51%?
It's a scattering of different people. The most prominent would be Etihad, who have a small sharing, but there a lot of it is institutional groups that these are the boys with the braces. They don't issue statements. We don't know a lot, but they would be following the price. They won't be making decisions on anything other than do we hold on for a better bid.
If memory serves me rightly, when we began the going down the road of privatisation, not just with Aer Lingus, but with other companies as well, there was talk of a golden share that would protect the interests of the taxpayer. And generally, it was spoken of in the Aer Lingus context of protecting the Heathrow slots. Now, does that count for anything at this stage?
It doesn't count for anything. The golden share was pretty much defined in the aviation industry at around 25%. People privatised their governments, tended to hold on to that. So Ireland followed what was the norm in the industry. It gives you enough clout to prevent something dramatic happening that would damage, in our case, tourism interests. I mean, we really need, from a business point of view and from tourism point of view, we need those connections coming to the island. We are an island. It doesn't seem to... It's a little bit more complicated by the fact that Aer Lingus has such a collection of institutional shareholders. It's not like the precedents that some people are looking to this week, where KLM, for instance, sought an awful lot of guarantees about Amsterdam before they merged effectively with Air France. But when you've got one airline buying another, it's quite a different situation than what we're dealing with here. There is no way the government can actually give any guarantees on slots in Heathrow.
Or seek them from a new owner?
You can put agreements in place, but there is a point that Heathrow is unusual in that slots are actually bought and sold. There's no other airport in the world where slots are bought and sold. So some of them are quite valuable. Some of Aer Lingus's are in the afternoon. You can pay €20 million for a Heathrow slot for a key morning slot when people are flying transatlantic. The afternoon slots are less, or worth less. But there is a point that if they give a guarantee to a 25% shareholder that damages the value of the overall package, that somebody else can come in with a complaint and you can in fact find yourself outside the protocol.
Right, and that was the point, I think, made by Michael O'Leary last
very,
Thursday.
Very forcefully on Thursday. And the When you've got the government seeking special considerations, other shareholders, it's actually against the rules. Other shareholders cannot have their value devalued. The other thing is, it isn't really that big an issue. It's a real old post-colonial thing. Aer Lingus used to be owned 50% by the predecessor British Airways. And the whole point was that Dublin was built to feed British Airways hub in Heathrow. The world has changed. Heathrow doesn't matter anymore. A lot of our Australia stuff, Asia stuff goes through Abu Dhabi and Dubai. We're more conscious of places like Frankfurt and Paris. So BA buying Aer Lingus, or IAG buying Aer Lingus, actually a Spanish registered company, if IAG buying Aer Lingus, they aren't going to be cutting back on feeding Heathrow. They'll be looking for more of it. In a way, they've already moved in and taken a lot of there's about 500,000 connections through Heathrow to feed British Airways services already. Used to all come from Aer Lingus. BA have taken a lot of that back with their own services. I think it's more likely the BA services would be freed to go elsewhere, that the ones that currently serve Dublin Heathrow, than taking the Aer Lingus ones. Shannon and Cork, very jumpy. But if a slot in Heathrow is being used to serve an unprofitable route, it doesn't really matter who owns it. It's not going to be kept. Airlines don't work like that anymore.
How do you think Ryanair will see this? We know they tried before to buy Aer Lingus. I think they were headed off at the pass by the authorities in Brussels. So do you think Michael O'Leary will favour the sale of this of his shares? Will he be willing to go along with the AIG offer?
We, as a result of the aviation leasing conference, right, Michael O'Leary had one of his spectacular press conferences on Thursday, and he did say that the board are the ones who are going to make that decision, and he wasn't going to comment. And of course, being Michael O'Leary, he followed on and commented and filled our pages with speculation. What he had held out as well is, and it may be mischief, but you never really know, is that there is the possibility of a fourth bid. He, remember, his first bid came in at 280, which is considerably more than IAG are coming in, and he may launch a bid himself to, what the government needs, what anybody who's looking for the future, they want a higher share price, out of this. And you're not going to, it doesn't seem to be happening, because the increments are very small that IAG are coming in with their successive bids.
What about the interest of the consumer in all of this, Owen? Is it going to be
bad
good
news
for, pardon me?
It's always bad news for the consumer. It's always, consolidation is always bad news. The history of aviation is that when you have, the only thing that brings down fares is competition. And, the two aviation leasing conferences last week, they were only talking about one thing, the price of fuel. The price of fuel hasn't been passed on to the consumer at all. And, you know, we have Windfall Delta declared the biggest profit in their history. It's quite clear that airlines, when they get the opportunity, they don't pass on savings that they get to the consumer. The only thing that keeps prices down is competition. And when you have consolidation, we've gone from 5 major airlines to 3 in America among the traditional sector. It looks like the same thing's going to happen in the low-cost sector in America in the coming 2 years. Hubs get closed, routes get shut down. Where you used to have 2 or 3 flights a day, it goes back to 2. The whole point is to get more money out of the customer, and consolidation is always bad news. We're lucky that we do have 2 competitive airlines, Ryanair and Aer Lingus, on a lot of our routes. But, you know, if Aer Lingus is taken over by anybody, it doesn't really matter. Lufthansa, I'm surprised they're not coming back into the game to look at this, because of the transatlantic. It's going to be bad for competition. And even, you know, the trophy that Aer Lingus have is that their short haul network is fine, it's working, but it's not anything special. The trophy is the transatlantic, and that's what anybody going to buy them would look for. And we could see a situation where, instead of Dublin being hubbed, which is increasingly the case, some of the flights in winter, 50% of the people on an Aer Lingus flight have flown into Dublin that morning to fly on. We could see a reversal of that process and a move feeding.
Might it not be increased? Because given that the pre-clearance arrangement is there available at Dublin Airport, is it not possible that IAG would push more people in the direction of Dublin because there would be that advantage for them?
That is the hope. Twin hub strategies are sort of the buzzword with Alitalia's announcement last week. That's fine when traffic traffic rates are high and people are flying in large numbers. And I would be surprised if anybody tried to interfere with that, because the Heathrow is so overcrowded. BA needs other places to send their transatlantic customers through. So you could actually have a situation where under Willie Walsh's watch, IAG uses Dublin, grows it. It's he'd be quite different from all his predecessors in BA, that he really understands what's special about the Irish market. But that's not, he's not going to be there forever. You're vulnerable, Sean, to somebody you know, making a decision on figures in future that will damage you, and you've lost the control, the famous control. That's
and it won't have much to do with the fact that he's Irish. It might give him, his experience might give him insights, but again, it's back to the bottom line.
Well,
isn't it?
You see, the fact he's Irish isn't, you know, from the old patriotic flag waving thing, isn't significant. The fact he's Irish, it's significant in that he understands how different the Irish market is, and how the way Dublin's relationship with the rest of Europe, in a way that a lot of London is London aviation is full of old colonial RAF types who would see Ireland as sort of in a different light. He does understand how complex the Irish relationship with aviation internationally. It's one of the areas in the world we're world leader in, and our relationships air connections.
Two other points. You mentioned that Cork and Shannon might be jumpy about this. Why?
Because they're not. They don't have the volume to guarantee those services that the likes of Timmy Dooley and people like that are being quite vociferous about. Shannon's connections with Heathrow, Cork's connections with Heathrow. They don't have the other options with Frankfurt and Paris that Dublin has. And they're both under pressure anyway. You know, basically, one word, the road network has changed the dynamic of Irish airports and all of that, Mitchelstown, Fermoy, you know, places like that would have looked to Cork are now looking more and more to Dublin. So they are the ones most vulnerable if slots in Heathrow get allocated to other markets. I don't see Dublin coming under pressure. In fact, we've seen for the first time since the Lehman recession, we've seen an increase in the number of flights to Heathrow from Dublin.
We heard the trade union representative earlier suggest that some 1,000 to 1,200 jobs of the 3,900 that are in Aer Lingus would be at risk if this goes ahead. Would you agree?
IAG aren't the relentless cost cutters that Michael O'Leary would have been if he'd come in. The cost base in Aer Lingus is sort of something like double what Ryanair's is, but it's not that different from what IAG's existing BA and Iberia. In fact, it'd be quite much lower than both. I don't think the trade unions have much to fear on this, because BA and Iberia's fat is elsewhere. But, you know, down the line, there may be changes in that.
Owen Corry, editor of Travel Extra, thank you very much indeed for coming in with that analysis.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.